to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and this is the Monday night version of the Harrison Moore Expedition. I'm here with Tom Moore, a good friend and companion here on this radio program. He is the gospel preacher at the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. I am the gospel preacher here at Hillcrest in Stephenville, Texas. And we want to welcome you to our radio program tonight. Tonight we're broadcasting simultaneously at the on the HPR network, KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, Texas, and KMNK 100.5 in Hereford, Texas. And we want to encourage you all to listen and make calls. We have a good toll-free number for you, and it's very easy to remember. This is a live call-in talk show. We would encourage you to call in with your questions, with your comments. We will give you a biblical answer. The number to call, and write this down somewhere, you can remember it quite easily, 855-QA-BIBLE. Spell it out, 855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number. We welcome your calls about any and everything. We also want to welcome our new listening audience now for a couple of 3 weeks now. KnowTheTruthRadio.org. It is an internet radio station, and we want to welcome all of our listeners there worldwide. You can go to KnowTheTruthRadio.org, and there is a chat box there. You can get on the chat box, and you can submit your questions through the chat box, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, our motto is, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We welcome the comments, we welcome your questions, and we want to also give you our additional sponsors. The Hillcrest Congregation is a sponsor, of course, and also the Park Heights Congregation in Hamilton, Texas. But in addition to that, we have additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the Porth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, with Ryan Smithy, who does all of the... we call him our webmaster. He does all of the technical things that we need done here. In addition to Luis Camacho, who is the manager of the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, and the other. Tell me, remind me, what is the other portion of his internet radio, Tom? Come on, think fast on your feet.
I can't think fast on my feet because I don't know what it is.
Okay, but anyway, Luis Camacho, we want to thank him as well because he does a lot of the good work for us here. Remember, the number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we are broadcasting from Studio 6 right here at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, broadcasting live here, and we want to encourage especially those local listeners in KATX in Eastland, Texas, KNNK, Hereford, Texas. Get on the phone, make that toll-free number, call 855-QA-BIBLE. Toll-free, won't cost you a dime. We have a very, very important topic that we've been discussing for the last two or three weeks, and we are asking and answering the question, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, why are you a member of the religious organization to which you belong? Is it because your mom and dad were members of that religious organization, or is it closest to your home, or they have the nicest building, or maybe you just like all of the folks that worship there? Whatever the case is, why is it that you are who you are and where you worship? We have been discussing why we are members of the Church of Christ, and one of the reasons that we gave and we covered and we have already covered is because the Church of Christ was founded by the scriptural builder, Jesus the Christ, and the Bible points this out. And we also said that we were members of the Church of Christ because it was founded on the scriptural foundation, again, which is Jesus the Christ. We also answered the question this way. I am a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded at the scriptural place. And that scriptural place, according to the Bible, is Jerusalem. It is not New York. It is not London. It's not Rome. It's not Salt Lake City. It's got to be established in Jerusalem. And today, what we're going to see is the same church in any community and in any age is dependent upon sowing the same seed. Now, Tom, if a man could trace an institution year by year back to its establishment, he would have no assurance that it was the identical institution that existed in the beginning. Because over a period of years, Tom, a church could so fall away from the truth that it could no longer be the true church.
Exactly. You know, and the Apostle Paul said that there was going to come a falling away.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you'll notice in the book of Acts when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, it says, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Here Paul is telling these Ephesian elders that there were going to be people rising up in the eldership that was going to draw people after them, and there was going to be that falling away, those who would begin to fall away from the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Paul also talks about that in another passage, doesn't he, in 2 Timothy?
1 Timothy, chapter 4.
1 Timothy, chapter 4.
I've got it right here. In verse number 1, he says, Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now, Tom, that means these are the exact words of the Spirit. The Spirit speaks expressly. This is verbal inspiration. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This is another passage given by the Holy Spirit through Paul to Timothy, warning him again there will be another falling away out there. People just falling away from the truth and making it up as they go. And we see that even today, don't we?
Exactly. And since there is the chance, and since it was prophesied that there would be a falling away,
mm-hmm.
we ought to be interested in seeing that we are sowing the same seed that was sown by the apostles. And after all, David, Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God.
True. And this is one of the great parables of the New Testament of Jesus. When Jesus talks about sowing the seed of the kingdom, the seed and the sower, the parable of the seed and the sower, he tells us precisely what that seed represents. It represents the Word of God. So when he's talking about sowing the seed, he's talking about planting the Word of God for all to hear.
So again, I remind you, if you could trace back year by year,
mm-hmm.
All the way back, the congregation, the religious organization that you are, trace it all the way back to where it was established, there would be no assurance that it is still the church of the New Testament. And so what we've got to do here, because Paul warned that this very thing was going to take place, we need to plant the very same seed that was planted in the early church to produce the church of the New Testament because, as we just mentioned, the seed is the Word of God.
So the church is going to be established because of the seed that is planted.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed has got to be the Word of God. Now,
exactly.
You just can't go and just get any old word or any old philosophy or any old thinking and plant a church and say, this is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it was not established with the correct seed, with
right.
the correct word.
Anybody can establish a church.
Well, that's for sure. We see that everywhere.
But if we want to be the church of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
we want to be the church that Jesus built, the one who he built, the one who he is the foundation of, then we're going to have to go back to the Bible and use his seed. Again, he says the seed is the Word of God. And if we sow the same seed the apostles sowed, the same church will spring forth.
That's true. And as you said just a moment ago, anybody can plant a church. We see this over and over and over. And you hear old Pastor Bob over here, Pastor Bill over there, they're talking about my church this, my church this. I was called to establish this church here. No. The Word of God is what establishes the church. Now, we may see a lot of people fool, Tom, but we're not going to fool God.
Exactly.
Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul warns us about this. He said, God is not mocked.
That's right.
For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about why I am a member of the Church of Christ, and in particular, this very moment, we're talking about how that we need to, the same church, if we're going to plant the church in any community, that we're going to have to sow the same seed that was sown in the first century. Now, I want you to remember that this is the HPR network that we're listening to, and also we're thankful for the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. Now, remember, the number to call, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. Or you can also email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We also have some web pages we'd like you to remember, the harrisonmoore.org webpage, fromthepreacherspc.org, and also knowthetruthradio.org. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Now, David, when we talk about the idea here of planting the same seed, we understand that every seed produces after its kind. That's a pretty logical and elementary principle, isn't it?
Well, sure it is. If you plant corn, you're going to grow corn. You cannot go and buy a bunch of corn seed and take it out there and hope to harvest watermelon.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. You sow corn, you get corn. And when the seed of the kingdom is sown, as it was in the first century, you did not get a different denomination by sowing the seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom is going to produce the kingdom or the church. It's not going to produce a denomination because a denomination is not what it is. That is not what the seed produces. So today, if the seed of the kingdom is planted in its purity, the very same thing is going to happen. You're not going to get a denomination. What you're going to have is the Church of Christ.
Exactly. Denominations, David, exist today because the seed of man has been sown. We must realize that if all the growing corn throughout the world was destroyed, corn would not be destroyed as long as it exists in seed. The same is true concerning the church.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the seed of the kingdom exists, the true church will never be destroyed. What did Jesus say, David, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35?
He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Everything is going to be gone. It'll be burned up at one time or another. But the word of God is going to stand forever.
So that means we're always going to have the seed available. And
exactly.
As long as we have that seed, the word of God available, then we're going to have the ability to produce the church that Jesus built.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if just everybody and every religious organization across the whole world, Tom, if they just laid down everything that they had in their religious organization, every word that they had, and they put it all aside and just picked up the Bible and started from scratch over again and just reestablished what was supposed to be there?
Exactly.
And moved as the Word gave them authority, made different changes as the Word gave them authority, made adjustments as the Word demanded that they do. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? You talk about unity.
Exactly.
Now, we would have unity because we would have the Bible. And this is why we're here. You have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's put that aside, and let's just see what the Bible has to say.
Exactly. Now, this is a live call-in talk show, and we would love for you to call in with a question or a comment. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. QA Bible.
Now, I think you're going to have to put a 1 in front of that. Is that not correct? I believe so. If it doesn't work with 855 QA Bible, put a 1 in front of it. It's a toll-free number. Won't cost you anything. 1-855 QA Bible. For those over there that don't understand QA Bible, now, I had a guy call me last week, and he said that was over his head. Let me give you the real number here. The number is 1-855-722-4253. But I think it's easier, 855 QA Bible, don't you, Tom?
That's easier for me. Anyway.
You know, hey, Pope Joy, if you're listening, get it. QA Bible. You can call in now anytime you get ready.
Now, if we want to have the church in any community, we must do as Paul and Apollos did in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 6, where Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul planted the seed of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He planted the word of God. And when that word of God was planted in the hearts of men, it produced fruit.
Right.
Apollos watered. He cultivated and he kept this thing going, but it was God who gave the increase.
Mm-hmm.
When man plants the seeds of men, there's not going to be any increase there. There's not going to be any fruit there. We're going to have to plant the seed of God's Word if we expect to have the church that was established by Jesus in the first century.
And that is one of the reasons that we are members of the Church of Christ, because it was planted with the seed of God and not the seed of man.
Exactly. Now, remember that you are listening to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org and the HPR Network. And we want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. And I want you also to realize that you can email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We're talking about why I am a member of the Church of Christ. We just talked about how that if we want to be the church that was established in the first century, we had to plant the same seed that was planted in the first century, and that's found, of course, in the Bible. But you know, David, I am a member, and you are a member of the Church of Christ also, because Christ is the founder of only one church, His church.
That is very true. And this is a point of contention with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not going to say anything that is not found in the Bible. This is our motto. We stand behind it 100%. If you see something that is amiss in what we're saying, we want you to call us. We want you to correct us. I don't want to be wrong. Tom, you want to be wrong? I want to be right.
And if you can show me from the Scriptures where I'm wrong, you'd be my best friend, because I want to go to heaven and I want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that Christ is the founder of only one church, that would be His church, that's the reason that we are members of the Church of Christ. And Jesus is the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. We find that, and Jesus says this right before His ascension into heaven. Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, He tells His apostles, all authority, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Exactly. And He who has all authority in heaven and earth said, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, Jesus did not say that He was going to build a church or His churches, nor did He say He was going to build one of His churches. He said, I will build my church. Now, let me spell that just to make sure we get the message. C-H-U-R-C-H.
Now, that is what Jesus promised to build.
Exactly.
That is how many Jesus promised to build, was one church. Now, everyone who knows anything about the English language knows, singular and plural, that church is singular, means one. Now, this is what is so difficult for many people, Tom, in view of the present conditions, to be convinced of the oneness of the church. They want to understand, they have been taught some of the foolishness of the world, that there are many and multiplicity of churches out there, that that they can belong to any and any and every one of them there. And friends, what we're seeing here is that Jesus expresses the oneness of the church before the church is ever built. But even before Jesus got here, Isaiah prophesied the oneness of the church through God when he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone."
Mm-hmm. That's it's singular.
It's one. It's singular.
And like you mentioned, David, it's hard for people to, in view of their present conditions with thousands of different religious organizations, to be convinced of the oneness of the church. But the multiplicity of churches about us has no power to alter the words of Christ.
No.
Jesus said, "My words will by no means pass away." And so we realize, I don't care what the man says or what the idea is around the world, Jesus said there is to be one church. The Apostle Paul taught this very same thing, did he not?
Yes, he did. And for those of you who are in a position to, if you're driving down the highway, I wouldn't recommend this, but if you are at your home and you have your Bibles there, we would encourage you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we want to see, this is these are the words of the Holy Spirit from Paul through to the church, to the church of at the church of Christ there at Ephesus. And here is what he has to say in verse number 4. Now, I want you to notice how many ones, singular, that there are in this little passage of Scripture here. In verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all." Now, Tom, here we have a passage of Scripture that says there is one Lord. Have you ever heard anybody argue about that?
No, not personally. I have.
Okay, I haven't either. And in this very, very same place right here, it says that there is one Father, one God,
mm-hmm.
and that there is one Spirit. Have you ever heard anybody argue about that?
No,
that there's more than one Spirit. The very same sentence that says that there is one of them says that there is one body.
Exactly.
Singular.
Exactly. You know, and Paul also said, speaking about that, in Romans chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
verses 4 and 5, he says, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another." Now, here Paul has told us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and also 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, when he says, "But now they are many members, but one body." Now, what we've got to understand now, David, and try to find out is, what does he mean by the term one body? Is there a way we can find that out?
Absolutely. The Bible reveals it to us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. Here, the very same Holy Spirit that is responsible for the rest of what you just got through reading says in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, says, "And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body."
So Paul says that the church and the body are the same.
Exactly the same.
Well, he says the same thing in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 when he says, "And he is the head of the body, the church."
Yes.
"Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things we might have the preeminence."
So then when we look at the body, we look at the church, we're talking about the very same thing. There is only one body. There is only one church. There is only one church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ.
You know, and David, we don't and should not have to apologize for that, because that is what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the Apostle Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
There is one body, there is one church, and Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, And all these passages that we looked at there in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and the book of Romans all show us that they perfectly agree with what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, singular.
Now, the reason that we bring this up, it's not to try to be offensive to anybody. We are here on this program, and it is our desire to instruct here what the Bible has to say. You've heard what men have had to say, but we need to understand what the Bible has to say about the oneness of the church. Now, whether you belong to the religious organization that you do because your mom, your dad, your grandfather, or whomever is in there, that really should have no bearing with why you are there. You are going to be personally and individually responsible for your own salvation, and this is why we want to bring this up. We want people to be aware of what the Bible has to say and not what man has to say. Now, we have a question or a comment, if you will, that has come on through the chat box on the knowthetruth.org chat box.
Knowthetruthradio.org.
Yeah, that's it, radio.org, excuse me.
The question comes from Paul, and it says, the multiplicity of churches implies that there is more than one way to heaven, more than one gospel. That's a lie. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, verse 7 specifically call it a perversion. And David's turning over there to read that for us. I think that'd be a very good passage for us to read. And Paul makes a very valid and a very significant point, that if there are many different churches that are right in the sight of God who teach contradictory things,
mm-hmm.
then that means there's more than one way to heaven, and that means there is more than one gospel.
Absolutely. And here is the passage that she was referring to. This is what the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote to the churches of Galatia that, by the way, were having a problem with this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul writes them here, and he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that we that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Very powerful words that we have here, showing us that it is a perversion of the gospel of Christ to claim that there is more than one gospel out there showing a multiplicity of ways to heaven.
Exactly. And so to reiterate what she just said, when we claim that there's more than one church, we don't think about the consequences sometimes of that kind of mentality, because that means there's more than one way to go to heaven and there's more than one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
When in very clearly, even back in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about there is one faith,
mm-hmm.
not many faiths. There is one body, not many bodies. There is one Lord, not many lords. And the same thing holds true here.
The gospel.
There is one way to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and there is one gospel. And it is, well, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am what?
The way,
the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. That's exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Very exclusive. And this is something that that a lot of the public can't get a hold of, is the exclusivity of Jesus the Christ. Yes, he welcomes all, but he doesn't welcome all to a compromise. He welcomes all to the truth and to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That faith, that truth, is what's going to take us to the Father, which is in heaven, but outside of that truth, it will not get there, Tom.
Exactly. It's time for us to take a radio break, but we'll still be on the Internet. But you are listening to the HPR Network. And while
they thought that Titanic was unsinkable, they thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
A little bit of trouble with our phones last week, but I think we've got the kink worked out. And so if you would call us with a question or comment so that we can try out our new system here to see how we're working, we would appreciate it. But most importantly, we want you to call in if you've got a question or comment about our topic. We're talking about why I am a member of the Church of Christ, and presently we're talking about or discussing that we are a member of the Church of Christ because Jesus said that he built one church.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul emphasized that same thing, did he not, David?
Yes, he did. And throughout the scriptures we find the oneness of the church indicated throughout the scriptures, especially in the letter that was written to the Ephesians and also to the Galatians, because there seems to have been a problem early in the church history of people wanting to pervert God's way and to pervert the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another gospel, indicating that there might be another way to heaven, indicating that there might be another church out there somewhere. But Jesus definitely said, "I will build my church," singular. And then the Holy Spirit continues in this same vein throughout the rest of the New Testament. There is no multiplicity of churches in your New Testament Bible.
Exactly. And you know, when you look at the scriptures, David, not only the passages that we've already looked at point toward this end, mm-hmm. that Jesus built one church, but also the oneness of the church is also seen in the figure of a vineyard with God as the husbandman.
In John chapter 15 and verse 1, for those who have your Bible there, he says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine." Not a multiplicity of vines here. We don't see many vines here being worked by the vine dresser to conflict in the welfare and the growth of each. You see, today, Tom, there are thousands of religious vineyards claiming God as their vine dresser. And this is what you see when you lift up your eyes in the world, but this is not what you see when you look into the Bible. When you look into the Bible, there's only one vineyard, and there is only one husbandman. Now, Tom, I'd like to take just a moment to encourage our listening audience at KATX, right out of Eastland, goes all the way down into Rising Star, and soon we'll go way further than that, quick as we get the FCC approval for a little bit more of a boost in their tower. And also, our listeners at KNNK in Hereford, Texas, in Death Smith County, we would love to hear you call in and ask a question or make a comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, or you can get on the internet to knowthetruth.org, knowthetruthradio.org, excuse me, and get on that chat box, and you can talk with us through the chat box, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmore.org. We welcome any of those methods. You call us, you talk to us, we will give you a Bible answer for your question. Now, Tom, we're talking about the oneness of the church and how that works right in with the great teaching from Jesus that he is the vine in John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. How does that work with his teaching on the oneness of the church?
Well, you know, this idea of one church is further portrayed in the figure of the vine and the branches.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got one vine, you've got one vineyard. And it continues with this in John chapter 15. And let's read John 15, verses 1 through 8. A little bit of a lengthy reading, but I think it's very important to what we're discussing. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, here, David, Christ is pictured as the true vine, and each redeemed person, each Christian, as a branch in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, we don't see Christ as a plurality of vines with many branches, each vine and each branch growing in such a way as to conflict with others, of the growth of others. This is not what we see at all, is it?
No, it's not. What we see here is one great, beautiful vine. That would be Jesus the Christ, and every saved person as a branch in him, saved by him, and bearing fruit to his glory. Now, one of the great problems that we have in religion today is that man, in his desperate attempt to justify denominationalism, has tried to tell us that the vine is the original and the true church and all the branches are the different denominations of the world. But this is their number one argument on behalf of denominationalism. But just a little bit of logical thinking will dispel this myth.
Exactly. And before we get into that, David, we have a question that's been emailed.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it there for you?
I've got it right here, and it comes in at a great time. This comes from one of our listeners, Denny. He says, Brethren, when I think of a division and the church, I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And there he says, not only is there to be one church, but that one church is to be united and not divided, no division, zip, zero, nada. Now here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is appealing to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is appealing to the authority, Tom,
mm-hmm.
that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then he goes on to say there is no room for division in this verse, and yet that is exactly what denominationalism is all about.
Well, that's what denominationalism means, denomination, mm-hmm. to divide. And he clearly tells us there, Paul does, that he does not want that division. You be of the same mind, the same judgment. Well, David, how can we be of the same mind and the same judgment?
Only if we have the same word.
Exactly. And we do, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know, and that's what Paula mentioned earlier, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, about there being one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If we uphold that one gospel, and remember, Jesus says the seed is the word of God.
Right.
We get back to the seed, we get back to the one gospel, and we, with honest hearts, look into it and abide by it, then we're going to have unity and not division, and then therefore we're going to have that one church.
No doubt about it. But, and this ties right into Jesus' great teaching on the vine and the branches.
Exactly. You know, again, like you said a moment ago, their number one argument on behalf of denominationalism is this passage, where they say that Christ is the vine and all the different denominations are the branches. But you know, David, a little logical thinking will show this to be false.
Mm-hmm. In verse number 5, if you have your Bibles handy there, after he tells us that I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, verse number 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches.
Who's he talking to?
He's talking to men.
Yeah, the disciples, right?
The disciples, yes. I am the vine, you are the branches. Not a bunch of different denominational
exactly.
bodies there. And he says, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He is not speaking about denomination. Look at the very next verse. If a man abide not in me, if a man abide not in me, not a denominational, but a man. So we must be in the body, we must be in the church in order to bear fruit.
You know, I heard a sermon a long time ago by G.K. Wallace, and he was preaching about this passage. And he was talking about people who were claiming to be in the branch, you
mm-hmm.
know, in the denominations. But here he says, Brother Wallace kept saying, get out of the branch and get in the vine. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me, we need to abide in the vine, not in the branch. So he says, if you're in a denomination, get out of that and get into the vine. Get into the branch. Get into Jesus. Get out of that branch.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the vine, because that's where we're supposed to be. Christ said, abide in me, in the vine. Thus, if you're abiding in a branch, you're an error.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, Jesus plainly taught that a branch is a person. If a man abide in me, not in a denomination, but if a man abides in Christ, that's where we need to be,
mm-hmm.
in the vine.
No doubt about that.
And you know, it does injury also to the parable, David. You know, it's preposterous and ridiculous to think that on the true vine can grow a grape and a pumpkin and a squash. You know, if that were really the case, David, I wouldn't mind having some of that seed where I could throw out a seed and get all the different kinds of fruit on one vine. But we know that's preposterous in our natural world. We would not accept it in the physical world. And why should we accept it in the spiritual world?
That's true. Very, very true.
Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You are listening with us here on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org and the HPR Network, and we want you to realize that we're talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ, and we want to encourage you to call in with any question or comment that you have. Again, the number to call is 855-722-4253, or just remember it as 855-QA-BIBLE. Why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. We're talking, David, about the oneness of the church that Jesus promised
mm-hmm.
to build. But we also have another illustration showing the oneness of the church as well, don't we, David?
Sure we do. And it is given to us in the figure of a family or a home, you might say. It is the house or the family of God. We read all about it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 15. And if you will look there, if you have your Bibles, we would encourage you to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, through inspiration, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself, now watch this, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. This is a representative of the church, a figure, if you will, of the church, just like the vine and the branches. Here we have the house or the family of God. We are part of the family of God when we become Christians. We are part of the family of God when we become a member of the Church of Christ. That we are God's family is also clearly seen in Romans chapter 8. Do you have that passage pulled up there, Taylor?
Yeah, Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Now, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He does that, David, through the Word of God, and we know by looking in God's Word that we are his children.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at that passage, and also the one you mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, we do not see pictured in the Bible thousands of different families, each one more or less conflicting with all the others, each with a distinctive government of its own, or each wearing a different name or claiming to have the same father. Well, David, that would be bigamy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. It surely would. I mean, truly, just logical thinking would tell you that would be a bigamous thing to do. We have a caller on a different line here, and Tom, if you'll take over, I'll answer this call while you go ahead on with the program.
You know, we talk about how that the oneness of the church is portrayed very much so in the figure of a house and or a family. Paul tells us that the church is the house or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and that we are God's family, as it clearly seen in Romans 8, verses 16 mm-hmm. and 17. And, you know, if we were to not believe that, well, then we would we'll be guilty of bigamy.
Right.
Now, men ought not, by word or deed, to cast such a poor reflection upon God. The divine picture is one great united family, as God as the Father, Jesus as the elder brother, and all members working together for the good of the family. Now, we've got some questions here, or some comments. The question is, comes from Barry. In Matthew chapter 15, or the comment, Matthew 15 verses 13 through 14, this is on the chat box, people can be sincere or may just blatantly choose not to follow the Word of God, but if they do follow the Scriptures, many of them twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. And so I think what he's saying there is that, David, there are a lot of people who believe they're doing right. And many of them are twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction. And did not we were mentioned, told of that back in the book of Second Peter, chapter 3, that many of them twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. And so we've got to realize that, you know, we need to be honest with the Scriptures. You know, when he talks about in James chapter 1 that we look into God's Word as a mirror,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you and I look in the mirror in the morning, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Do we need to shave, brush our teeth, comb our hair, whatever? We've got to be honest with ourselves and not just shrug our shoulders and forget what manner of man we were. And a lot of times people will look in the Scriptures and they, too, will not do what the Scriptures say because they're not being honest with the Scriptures.
Right, right. Now, we also have another remark or comment that was sent in by Steve. They say that there is unity and diversity, but the very idea that they are different would logically say that they're not the same. And here, no doubt, we are told to have the mind of Christ, that this mind be in you, was all, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the only way we're going to have the mind of Christ is to read the book, read the Bible. It is the seed of God that produces the mind of God.
You know, Mark writes a question here on the chat box, one very important for us to think about. He said, how do you answer the proposition that the church is a whole of all the denominations? Well, we got to look at this, the whole of all the denominations. That kind of gets back to the passage in that we were looking at there in
Galatians.
I was thinking about in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. That's the argument they use. Jesus is the vine, and then all of these various branches are the various denominations, and all of those together make up the one church. Well, there's a lot of things that we can talk about in that regard, David, because Jesus said, I will build what?
My church.
My church, singular. And then throughout the scriptures, he tells us and gives us the particulars of what makes up that one church. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the period of time here. We don't have near enough time to go through all those issues. But, Mark, if you will continue to bear with us and listen to us week after week, we're going to set forth what the Bible says about that one church. Now, again, the word denomination means what?
Division.
Division. Jesus says there is one church. Paul says we are to have no divisions, right? 1
right.
Corinthians 1 and verse 10. And so it cannot be true that all the denominations make up the church as a whole, because that would be contrary to many other passages of the Scripture.
Well, there is one sure way to understand this, that all of the denominations cannot make up the whole. Because the denominations in themselves are diametrically opposed to one another in their own doctrine. The doctrine does not come from the doctrine of Christ. It comes from the doctrine of men.
Mm-hmm.
And because it comes from the doctrine of men and they are opposed one to another, they would never be able to be the whole, because they are already divided between one and the other.
Exactly.
Not just between the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and them, but between themselves exclusively.
Exactly.
You can't be divided and united at the same time. Unity and division is some kind of a oxymoron that somebody has come up with. You cannot be unified and divided at the same time.
It's not
even reasonable.
Exactly. And David, before our time is getting up on us here, but before we in this thought of the oneness of the church, I want us to go over to John chapter 17 and kind of conclude our thoughts with that passage there. Because the oneness of the church is taught further in our Lord's prayer to the Father. He prays, does he not, David, for this oneness that he has spoken of throughout the Scriptures, and also that which the apostles spoke of. You'll notice there in John 17, verses 20 and 21, neither for these all only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Now, Jesus prayed what there, David?
Unity.
He prayed that they would all be
one,
even as he and the Father are one. Do you think he and the Father agree?
Certainly they do.
Do you think they have different views of doctrine?
No.
Do they think they have different ways of how they want to be worshipped?
No.
Do you think they have different ways on how to get to heaven?
No.
And so he wants everyone to be one as they are one.
And this is one of Paul's prayers in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. If we have that mind, we're not going to be divided. Now, one of the things that divides churches, and is God's plan of salvation, and there should be no division, no conflict, no problem with it at all. And yet Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, I understand that to say that he has the exclusive way to heaven, and that way to heaven demands that we have faith in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must have faith, and faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Now, David, as we bring these down to a closing thoughts, we've got to realize that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church,
mm-hmm.
singular.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he's going to build one church.
Right.
The Apostle Paul also said that the body and the church are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus prayed that we all be one.
Right.
And that being the case, we've got to believe that we should strive to be that one church. And the things we're going to be looking at in the next several weeks is, how is that church described in the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself the question again. Why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? David and I are members of the Church of Christ because Jesus said he is going to build one church.
Well, now, for me to be a member of that church, I must have that faith that we were talking
exactly.
about just a moment ago. And upon that faith, I must repent. The faith, the faith which has been once delivered unto the saints, tells us what God wants, and he demands repentance in each and every one of us. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But that even will not do it. That will not put you in the church of our Lord and Savior
exactly.
Jesus Christ. The confession is absolutely essential, Tom.
Exactly. If you don't confess that he is the Christ, we can't be saved. That's what he tells us there in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have to be willing to confess him. And confession is more than just saying the name. It's really living the life of a Christian.
Walked in the walk.
Exactly. But then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Now, the baptism is for the remission of our sins. And what we must understand there is that we are to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That in itself will wash away our sins, coming up out of that watery grave of baptism, pure and holy, and the Lord himself will do what then?
He will then
add us to the church.
Exactly. And so we've got to realize the importance then of being in the Lord's church. We're so thankful that you've been with us today talking about why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I hope that you will consider and ask yourself, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? It's been great to have you in our audience today. Dave and I wish you Godspeed, and we're thankful that you've been listening to the HPR Network and also KnowTheTruthRadio.org.